The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Aisling Larkin is back with me, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach, with advice about sleep. Is that right?
Yeah, what to eat to help us sleep. Sometimes
okay.
We struggle to sleep. How do you sleep normally?
I am actually generally a good sleeper now. I had a bad night's sleep this week because, do you know what happened? I went to sleep.
Okay.
Woke up, something woke me up like 40 minutes later, and then it was like I'd had a power nap.
Oh, no.
You know?
No.
Yeah,
wide awake
to like 2 in the morning. I'd like finished one book and started another. You know, you just keep going.
Yeah.
But generally, I'm good. I'm just head hits the pillow, gone.
Gone for six, seven, eight, 9 hours.
Are you a good sleeper?
I'm a great sleeper.
Okay.
And I'm actually really grateful that I'm in that really good phase because I think, you know, you have the babies. There's a lot of waking nights. There's a lot of all that stuff. And then you hear about that next phase, which is probably a generation up for me, where there's hot flashes and there's going to the toilet in the middle of the night. And I think I'm just in a sweet spot at the moment where I'm physically tired, I'm mentally tired, so when my head hits the pillow, and I've got a really good sleep schedule. Like I'm bed by 11, kind of, you know, do a bit of scrolling, half 11, quarter to 12, I'm asleep. And then I'm awake the wintertime by 7:30, and then in the summertime, I retrain myself in March every year to wake back up at 6 or 6:30 for the rest of the summer night.
Sorry, but if you're only going to sleep at 11:30 and you're getting up at 6, that's not, you're not sleeping enough, Aisling.
Yeah.
Got to get a bit more sleep.
As good as I can do for now.
Right, okay. So what are you conscious then of food, what you eat and drink?
Yes, I am. Oh, so much so. So I think there's foods that we can eat that can help us sleep well. There's foods that will stop us from sleeping well. But the whole, I suppose, the core of the foundation of it all is that when you sleep well, you wake up with like higher coping skills. You're more regulated, you're in better headspace, you're better able to make better decisions. So every decision you make after that will be a better decision.
Okay.
So important.
So will we start at where we mean to go on with breakfast or something? Is that where you start? Can you prepare for your sleep with the first thing you eat in the day?
Yeah, you can. I suppose
it's Frosties.
Yeah, well, don't save them till late at night. You know what? You'd be all right having your Frosties early in the morning because you're going to get that sugar high and then that's going to burn itself out and you're going to have to replenish yourself as the day goes on. I suppose, like, if you do have bad sleep, what you can do is, they say you can turn it around in about 2 weeks. The idea would be that you don't save up all of these good foods that we're going to talk about for like late at night, or, you know, you load them at the end of the day. You build them in from the start of the day and you work your way up. So there's a couple of different things, I suppose. The key one that we're going to talk about is tryptophan. So tryptophan is an amino acid. Amino acids are these building blocks for protein, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the essence of it all is that tryptophan makes serotonin. Serotonin regulates mood, appetite, sleep. And then serotonin makes melatonin.
Oh, so these are the melatonin jellies that everyone was asking us to buy in America.
There you go. You asked to buy
week.
Them as well when you were there.
Yeah, I didn't buy them.
Did you not?
No, people shouldn't. You shouldn't need supplements to do one of the most basic things human beings are designed to do, which is sleep. That's my view on it.
Well, that might be your view, but I would say if you were a lady in maybe menopause and hormones were kicking in and there was lots of other things going on, she might say, you know what?
Hey, listen.
I need a little bit.
Women have survived hundreds of thousands of years without melatonin jellies. And they've all gone through the menopause. Just stop complaining about it, I say.
Now, Kieran, we're going to move on.
You know who's
before we have a falling out. And we haven't had a falling out in a very long time. So we're just going to keep on powering on here.
All right.
Serotonin. Let me tell you about serotonin, okay? So like I said, it regulates mood and appetite. The serotonin then, that's what converts into your melatonin. It's that melatonin that helps with your circadian rhythm, helps you sleep, helps you wake up, and it keeps you, I suppose, asleep for as long as you need to and awake for as long as you need to. So that's really, really good. How are you going to get those tryptophan? So that's the building block. That's where it starts. So tryptophan comes from things like eggs, things like salmon, things like tofu, things like seeds, oats. So when you talk about breakfast,
okay,
with your oats can be a really, really good one. So your overnight oats, your porridge, something as simple like that. When you get up in the morning, sunlight, first thing, you know, so they always say if you can get out of bed and you can do 10 minutes of like actual daylight on your face, sunlight on your face, that's going to kick off that circadian rhythm.
Okay. What about, before we get into any of the foods then that might be rich in these tryptophans and these building blocks, what are there stuff, you know, like say caffeine, mm-hmm. does that block the all of that working or how does that keep us awake?
Yeah, it does. So the caffeine, so you've got receptors and basically as you kind of go through the day, you use up all your energy supplies and then that basically kicks in adenosine and it makes you kind of want to go asleep. Blockers to that are things like caffeine, things like alcohol. So you need to limit them as much as possible. So it's not just that the caffeine gives you a buzz and keeps you awake, but it also blocks that sleep one that's going
okay.
to be in as well. So that's really important. Your gut is really, really important. You've got that gut brain axis going on. So again, sometimes we just think, oh, you know, the gut is good for digestion, but it's for more than that because it allows all those hormones, all those neurotransmitters to travel through the body. So again, things like your prebiotic foods. So feed the good bacteria in your gut.
Okay.
Oats, onions, leeks, bananas, asparagus, all of your fermented foods like your kefir, your sauerkraut, live natural yogurt. All of those are really, really good. So even though we don't naturally associate them with sleep, they are really useful for sleep. Again, then before bedtime,
yes,
you don't want to have a big heavy meal. You don't want to eat too late at night. Do you eat late at night?
No, not too bad. Well, it depends. I don't have my main meal late at night, but I will sometimes graze a bit when I come in from work. Yeah, a bit of grazing. I'm a fan of grazing.
I know. And sometimes if you're leaving it too close to bedtime, or it's spicy food, rich kind of fatty, salty food, sugary foods, that can not help. Bowl of cereal. Like, so often you see people having a bowl of cereal before bed because they want that.
Love a late bowl of cereal.
So do I.
Love it.
Not good for sleep though, because what happens is you have it, you start to break it down, digest it, and then about maybe 3-4 o'clock in the morning, boom, sugar crash, and you're waking up. Disrupts your whole circadian rhythm.
So okay.
Actually, cereal is proven to not be good. You know what is good? 2 kiwis before bed. Research has been done that if you take 2 kiwis about 1 hour before bedtime, they're linked to helping you sleep. Walnuts are another one before bed. So if you wanted a snack, maybe walnuts could help.
Yeah. Cheese and crackers and a glass of red wine, I think, is what I'll stick with.
And that'll help you
sleep. What have we got today?
Okay, we've got some lovely food. So we're going to actually talk before we do anything about Ovaltine. Have you ever seen this? Do you remember this?
I know the name, but I've never had it or anything, or I don't really know anything about
it. It's kind of stocked beside the hot chocolate in the supermarket. It's a malt-based drink. And the belief is that between the malt and the vitamin B and all of these little kind of additives in it, that so it's always been sold as a product to help you sleep.
Yes.
I've made you one.
Okay,
so
this is an Ovaltine. It does look like a hot chocolate.
And it kind of tastes like a hot chocolate. The problem is that if it's made on about 250 mils of milk, now you're up on about 20 grams of protein, which kind of sounds all right.
It's not bad.
But you're up on about 20 grams of sugar, 9 of which are just basic, pure added table sugar.
So right.
In that little mug that I've given you,
oh, yeah,
there's 2 teaspoons of sugar.
There's a lot of sugar in that.
There is. So what kind of you think might be a good one, actually, you'd be better off just leaving it off.
Mm.
Do yourself a hot milk with a little bit of maybe turmeric, chai spice, a little bit of, all those kind of cinnamon cloves, that one. Now, the other big trend that was going around before bedtime was cherry juice.
This okay.
was like Vogue, all of the magazines had this massive trend about a year ago. Cherry juice. Cherry juice is really expensive to buy. And the idea is that cherries, again, will tryptophan, they'll make your serotonin, make your melatonin.
They're full of sugar.
Full of sugar.
Yeah.
Full of sugar. So again, you were basically consuming direct sugar going in. Like, so no, not a good idea. But what I have, I've done a cherry and chocolate crumble for you.
Oh, lovely.
So I'm still sticking with the cherries because the cherries are valuable for dessert, but we're going to have it at dessert time. So you can have lunch or dinner first. Which dinner or dessert?
I'll have my dinner first.
Okay, we're going to do. So what we have is these beautiful cumin turkey meatballs with a tahini dressing, and we've got these lemon garlic greens and grains, okay? So it's this beautiful bowl of goodness, I suppose. So what we're trying to do is get in tryptophan, in the most simplest, basic, natural way. Turkey, as we know, is one of those foods. Now, I'm going to break down this bowl because there's so many kind of interesting things that you could even just take one element of this bowl and it would be really good for you in terms of helping you with your sleep and your gut health and all of that stuff. For the turkey meatballs, I used a combination of lean turkey mince, so almost like the breast, and turkey thigh meat.
Okay.
So I've got both of them in there. For protein, it kind of increases the protein content a little bit. It makes the flavour, because you're using the dark meat of the turkey, a little bit more interesting, a little bit more meatier, a bit of depth. Sometimes turkey mince can be a little bit kind of insipid and bland. So I actually love the fact that the supermarkets, because this is really recent, that they've started to stock both. So that's really cool. So into the bowl, I put a little bit of your turkey mince and then cumin, fresh garlic, lemon zest, a little bit of oregano in there, and then just mashed it all together, a little bit of seasoning, salt and pepper, rolled them, spritzed them with oil, popped them in the air fryer. They cook really, really nicely in the air fryer.
Okay.
Now, the difference, you could soak a little bit of bread or oats, again, trying to get in those oats in milk and put them in, and that will keep them really nice and tender. I'm always kind of considerate of people who've maybe celiac or gluten-free. So, and so many times we see recipes for meatballs and they always have breadcrumbs in them. They don't need them. However, when you soak breadcrumbs in milk. The lactic acid in the milk keeps them really tender and moist and juicy. So I do like that. But it's just, I suppose, to know that there are two ways of going about it. But the background flavours of that little bit of warmth from the cumin, the little bit of heat from the garlic, the little bit of kind of freshness from the lemon, it's really, really nice. The grains. I brought you the packet, right, to show you. Yeah. So these are just bought, pre-cooked whole grain rice and quinoa. So again, it's looking at those ones. And again, those ones are gluten-free. They're really handy for when you want a meal like this, but you don't want to go basically cooking like bulgur wheat or quinoa or something like that. They really work. But they need a bit of jazzing up when you buy them. So what I tend to do is try and get things like coriander. Mint grows so well in the garden. I have a ton of mint at the moment. I have a ton of chives at the moment. Just chop them up, put them into everything. Little bit of shallots in there, little bit of lemon zest, a couple of pine nuts, toss them through just to give a little bit of interest to it. And then the greens.
Yeah.
How are you doing?
Great. I was going to say, what's the crunchy stuff? What's like the crunchy topping on it?
Yes, that is, it's a Caesar flavour. So it's like Caesar salad dressing flavour. So they're the Irish company that Good For You. They do the salad toppers. We've brought them in a couple of times. So they have like a Caesar salad one. So we just thought that kind of
It's lovely.
Isn't it nice?
Yeah, lovely texture.
Adds another layer of flavour to them. Wilted greens. We obviously need to be eating more greens. Magnesium is the other big one for sleep that we hear people talking about. So when they're struggling to sleep, magnesium supplements, magnesium spray on the pillow, magnesium spray on the legs. Your leafy greens are full of magnesium. And again, eating it throughout the day. So what I have there is spinach. Beetroot is grown really well in greenhouses and little gardens around the country. So beetroot leaves, if you can find them. Cauliflower leaves. So often we take the cauliflower, we cut out the stalk, we cut out the core, all those leaves, chuck them in the compost, they're gone. If you strip them down, chop them up, take the core out, but just use the lovely, the green leaves, the dark and the light, shred them up finely, toss them in a pan. There's a little bit of oil in there, a little bit of butter, salt, garlic, and just slowly kind of wilt those, like those greens down. They're gorgeous. They work really nice. You can throw them into a stir fry. So you've, like I said, you've got your spinach, you've got your beetroot leaves in there, and you've got your cauliflower leaves. And there's something that we, like I said, we tend to throw out, and we shouldn't throw them out because there is great value in them. And then your tahini dressing is tahini. So tahini is this sesame seed paste. Sesame seeds, again, are one of those foods. And you take your tahini, a little bit of lemon juice. You can put in mayonnaise or Greek yogurt. Mm-hmm. If you don't want any of those, you can just put a little bit of boiling water. Again, a little bit of freshly grated garlic, season it up, and that's your tahini dressing. And they're quite big flavours in that bowl.
No, it's delicious.
Each one is kind of punchy, you know, but there's lots and lots of flavour. And I think when you're going to eat something that is good for your gut, you've got your complex carbohydrates in there, you've got your fibre in there, you've got your protein in there, you've got your veg in there. It does need to carry. It needs to be seasoned. Don't forget that every layer needs to be seasoned. And then you need the brightness, the heat, the acid, the salt, the fat, all of those flavours.
Mmm. Oh, it's delicious.
Tasty, isn't it? It's a really, really nice one. I really like it. Dessert-wise, we are looking at cherries. So we're going to stick to cherries because so often we make crumble with raspberries, you know, apples. We can do all of those and we forget about cherries. You can buy frozen bags of cherries in the supermarket. Predominantly, I think, Lidl and Aldi, I see them in and they're brilliant. They're really good. No cooking in this. It's nice, isn't it?
Oh,
we've got a little bit of ice cream and we've got a little bit
of ice cream.
Can't beat a bit of vanilla ice cream and cherry yogurt with them. I wanted to keep this recipe as easy as possible. So it's like something that almost when you're loading the dishwasher or cleaning up after dinner, you could just make this. So it's not a big effort crumble. Bag of frozen cherries.
Mm-hmm.
Open the bag, put them in the bottom of an oven-proof dish. Sprinkle in about a teaspoon to a teaspoon and a half of corn flour.
Okay.
A drizzle of maple syrup.
Yeah.
A drop of vanilla.
Okay,
like,
easy.
It's this easy. It's not one of these recipes that you can mess up. Mm-hmm. If it's a little bit sweeter, okay, make it a little bit less the next time. If you'd fancied a bit more vanilla, a little bit more vanilla. You can't mess it up. I'll put up a full recipe, obviously, but it's that easy. And then I took some oats, some ground almonds, or you could use a bit of plain flour, butter, just rub in maybe about 50, 70 grams of butter, just rub it in, little pinch of sugar in there, little bit of cinnamon. Cinnamon works really nicely.
Yeah.
And then that's your crumble done. Now, I put in cacao nibs into this. So again, dark chocolate is one of those foods for magnesium, for tryptophan, linking it all in. And cacao nibs, then obviously they've much less sugar. So you're just talking that kind of the hit, the good dark chocolate.
Yeah.
And you can either sprinkle those in with the cherries on the bottom or else put them in the crumble on the top.
Mm.
Bake that in the oven for about 35 minutes at 180. And it's just done.
That's it.
It's just done. It's so
very
easy.
Very simple.
A little bit of cream, a little bit of ice cream. I just think it's such a winner. It's a really, really lovely one. So there's so many easy ways. As we said, in terms of like, look at the blood sugar levels kind of and think about where am I getting in sugar late at night? Try and strip it back. If there any grazing, high fat, sugar, salt, try and strip that back. Keep your sleep routine the same. You know, we talk about relaxing in the evenings and having the dim light if you can. And the gut health one. I think not forgetting that gut health has such an important part in the food we eat and sleep. Mm.
What's in that mug over there?
That's your miso. Your miso soup. So for your late night snacker,
okay,
like to graze, or maybe loves something salty late at night.
Right.
Miso, give it a little stir there now. You can have just a little taste off the spoon if you want.
Yeah, it looks like a milky tea is what it looks like.
It doesn't taste like that now. So it's quite savoury.
Oh, it is, yeah.
If you like a pot noodle, or you know the...
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's like.
Isn't it?
It's like the liquid from a pot noodle, right? So it's miso paste. So the idea is that you would drink this late at night and it's like a broth. So if you're craving something salty, make yourself a little mug of this. You buy miso paste in the supermarket, add a couple of sesame seeds, chop up some spring onions. And now I don't think that's for everybody.
It's fairly salty.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And you can tone it back by putting in a little bit less. But it is an interesting one. The other one, I suppose, is stay hydrated throughout the day. You know, so many times you hear people like, you know, no caffeine after 2 o'clock. So just keep an eye on the things that kind of work for you. But I suppose the big thing we're trying to understand is if you can build in those tryptophan foods throughout the day, they will do their job. They will produce the serotonin. They will convert to melatonin. No gummies will be needed. And you can all have a great night's sleep at the end of it.
All right, listen, delicious stuff as always. So Aisling said she's going to get this up on social media at Aisling underscore Larkin?
Underscore.
Yes, there we are. Google Aisling Larkin and you'll find all the details of this and so much more besides. And Aisling will be back at the same time next week. Aisling, have a great weekend.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.